Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 25th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in Chapter 11, A Vision for You. We're at page 158, and we'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph only that begins with Next Day Found and ends in This Booze Racket Alone. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Lorraine N., will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are K.P., Devorah S., and Kara L. The share ID for Sunday, May 24th, the special edition, is 14,679, 14679. And for this morning's Monday, May 25th, 7 a.m. meeting, the share ID is 14,683, 14683. Our newcomer greeter for today is Janice P.M., and Dawn B. will be making the announcements at the end of the meeting. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Good morning to you all. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive eater from the DFW area of Texas. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a wonderful week, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. Lorraine N., would you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
Yes, Lorraine N., up here in Oregon. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me do service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. And if you could check that you've pressed star 1 to make sure your phone is muted. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study. We are in the Big Book, Chapter 11, A Vision for You. We're on page 158 this morning, the first paragraph that begins with Next Day Found. And KP, if you could get us started, please. Good morning.
Good morning. This is KP from Malden, South Carolina. Next Day found the prospect more receptive. He had been thinking it over. Maybe you're right, he said. God ought to be able to do anything. Then he added, he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this booze racket alone. Well, we know that this is Bill D. And they finally got him sober. At least enough that they can talk to him. It's been a couple of days, I understand. And he's been thinking this over, and he says, maybe you're right. Well, you know, when I first came to my first meeting, I didn't have a maybe you're right. I thought, these people have what I want, and they have the answer. And they told me that God ought to be able to do anything. Well, I had always known that, but for some reason, I thought little something like, if I ate too many Oreos or if I binged on whatever, that there were many other things in the world that God needed to be busy about. Maybe he didn't have time for my little food issue. But I thought, this is definitely worth it. And so I just jumped in there and I got a sponsor. We read the Big Book. We went through the steps. And today, I'm a recovered person, and I'm very, very grateful. God can do this, and God will. I think the reason maybe that God didn't do much for him when he was trying to fight the booze alone was that he didn't ask. He didn't surrender. I think that would be the key to it. And I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, KP, for getting us started. Okay. So we are on page 158, the first paragraph that begins with Next Day Found. We're commenting on that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too. So who would like to share on page 158, the first paragraph?
Patty D.
Patty D.
Mary M.
Mary M.
Terry S.
Terry S.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B. I can take a couple more.
OSP.
Okay.
Devorah S.
Okay, was that, I got Devorah S. Was that Lois P?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay, that's a great lineup. Thank you. Okay, so I have Patty D, Mary M, Terry S, Julie E B, Lois P, and Devorah F. So go ahead, Patty D. Patty, can you hit star one to unmute, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, this is Patty D. This is Patty D, a recovering compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. Gosh, I have not shared in ages because I have been dealing with relapse, and I have now been abstinent just over 3 weeks, entirely abstinent. And my sponsor and I were actually talking about this particular topic this morning in our phone call about giving over to God and having God do for us. And I think what I had shared with her was that I kind of was stumped as to why God wasn't helping me with my food problem, because for decades I had had a really strong personal relationship with God and couldn't understand why he wasn't helping with this food thing. And I think the key for me was, and I think it was also key for the man speaking in our big book today, is I was doing it myself. I was trying to control everything myself. And, you know, as Kay said, you have to surrender. And I wasn't surrendering. Not the food, anyway. And I feel like now I have done that. And now I'm finally getting that peace. And it's coming true, finally, for me. And that's just all I wanted to share. So thanks very much.
And thank you so much, Patty B. Okay, Mary M., it is your turn, followed by Terry S.
Okay, hi, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. Compulsive overeater. Overeater, I forget what the wording was, but anyway, I'm kind of doing my fourth and fifth step, and you know, I'm abstinent, and I'm having a hard time with, I know I'm going to get this back to the paragraph, having a hard time with cravings, and you know, I think it's fear that I'll never have what I used to have or whatever, that kind of thing. And I'm getting on meetings, and I was on one earlier on, and I think I'm looking for an answer straight away. I'm looking for a quick fix to soothe me, or whatever. And maybe that's not. Maybe I just need to accept where I'm at this moment. And do the next right thing. Anyway, I don't know. I'm powerless over it. I suppose I can't fix myself. So anyway, God ought to be able to do anything. But anyway, anybody I've spoken to who's recovered in this program, you know, they've managed to get there, and their lives have become better. And that's God. That is something to be desired. So anyway, I'm here, and one day at a time, and got it. Anyway, I just trust one day at a time, I suppose, 1 minute at a time. and that's where I'm at. And actually, I didn't bring it back, but I enjoyed reading this chapter. And maybe that I, and anyway, not doing this on my own, I suppose, is the thing. So that's it. Okay. Thanks very much. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Mary M. Okay, Terry S., you're up next, followed by Julie E.B.
Hi, everybody. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. Welcome to the newcomers, the struggling members, the recovered members. I'm a recovered food addict. I think I forgot to say that. Anyway, I love this little paragraph, and it makes me smile because it very clearly looks at the other Bill. He was more receptive. Then he says, maybe you're right. Then he says, God ought to be able. And then he gives himself the out of, he sure didn't do anything for me when I was trying to fight this by myself. What that reminds me of is he wasn't bouncing off the bed going, oh my God, you guys are fantastic. God is wonderful. I know I'm going to be cured of all this. He's still hesitant and a little resistant, still kind of blaming God a little bit in that last sentence. And I can so relate to that. When I came into program, it wasn't all sunshine and roses for me either. It took me a long time to be surrendered enough to be able to say, wow, I really do believe that this can happen if I just do what you people tell me to do. I did it because I was desperate. I really didn't believe that it would happen for me, but I was so desperate and so into the food and so incredibly depressed. My life was just gross that I was willing, because I had no place else to go. But it gives me a lot of hope that, you know, AA number 3 had that. He has this little paragraph here where, you know, he's not doing cartwheels in the hospital. He's like, well, you know, I couldn't do this by myself, so basically I guess I'll try what you guys are suggesting. And I appreciate how they brought that out in this story, that it wasn't a one and done. Even though he'd had that white light experience, he still wasn't completely convinced. That's how I read this. Anyway, I'm really glad to share. Everybody have a wonderful abstinent day and enjoy your 3-day weekend if you got one. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Terry S. Okay, Julie B., you're up next, followed by Lois P.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, waking up to a beautiful, solid mountain that reminds me that I'm not alone. And I love this. I mean, God really couldn't help me when I was going it alone. And I thought that was on God. I thought that was on everyone else. I remember the first time on this line that I heard someone say that they had treated their misery in isolation with more misery in isolation. And that's me, you know. I had a burst of misery yesterday and lashed out a bit and made my apology. But, you know, when I got up this morning and as I continue to do my 10th step and I just see people in another point of view right away, I have several opportunities to be the person I am in those relationships today with my family, trustworthy and reliable. So, so I think I could have taken the misery and isolation I felt last night and just stayed in that misery and isolation. But these guys make a tremendous effort. They have tremendous patience. And so if you're there in that misery and isolation, reach out. You know, I believe, like someone said on this line, that every step I take against my disease is a step up the down escalator of my disease. My disease is always moving down, 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 down. And so when I reach out and say I need help, that's all the difference in the world. And so I'm just thankful that my higher power restores me to sanity today, and that I can just be powerless and turn my will and life over to the care of something other than my own thinking and the food that was never very kind to me after all. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, Lois P., your turn, followed by Devorah S.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Lois P. from New York, and I'm gratefully recovering food addict. What I especially love about this paragraph is the last segment here, trying to fight this alone. And that aloneness, I never really attributed to my issue with food. I thought it was just about the food, actually. And truly, it was about being separate and alone from God in all aspects of my life. I'd always felt that I had a spirituality and a communion with higher power, with God, with the divine. And yet that one segment of my life, which was food, I thought was just about food. So I didn't pay much attention to it, even though I was in the rooms in and out for 30 years. Recently, through the steps and through God's grace and the wonderful people who are supporting me now in this program, I see that it's been my entire life of being alone, trying to cope with my life, my feelings, whatever issues that came up for me. It was always, I had to do it, I had to fix it, I'll go to therapy, I'll go to groups. It was about I-centeredness. And that word alone really stands out for me, because although I had life and family and relationships and good work, good jobs, accomplishments that I attached my ego to, there was a sense still that something was missing, because I was alone in my own sense of I. And once I realized recently that this is about connecting on all levels to God, not just about my food, what am I going to eat today, or did I break my abstinence today? It's about questioning everything that I do and turning it over. God, what should I do now? What should I eat now? What should I say now? And having that boundarylessness, having those boundaries broken, thank you, God, through excruciating pain, emotional pain, which finally made me very receptive to understanding that there doesn't need to be a boundary. There doesn't need to be a hesitation in my asking for help, in my willingness to not be alone, because this huge, supreme, divine love and this consciousness that I think resides in everything and in everyone certainly is becoming more and more my companion and my guide and my beloved. And that's just the answer, thank you, God, that I'm finally coming to. So with that, I pass, and I thank everyone for being here today. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service.
And thank you, Lois P., for your share. Okay, Devorah S., you're up next, but before we take Devorah, I just want to remind everyone that we are on page 158, the first paragraph that begins with Next Day Found, and after Devorah shares, I'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, please, Devorah S.
Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And, you know, he says this, here it is, the next day. It's day two that he's been approached. And he says, maybe you're right. God ought to be able to do anything. So that word ought, to me, it sounds like, you know, a little bit of doubt over there. He wasn't seem so enthusiastic about it. He didn't say, yes, God can do anything. Absolutely. It was, he ought to do everything. Like, you know, a little bit of doubt over there. And then he says, then he added, he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this booze racket alone. And sounds a little bit resentful, you know, like, yeah, I prayed for him, but he didn't do anything for me. I was trying to do this thing, a little anger over there or something. And so, yeah, I get it. But I'm also kind of impressed with this guy, because when I was in the throes of my disease, you know, I didn't even think of calling on God. You know, he says, well, I tried calling on God. I was in church. I called on God. Me too. I went to my house of worship. I went to religious school my whole life. But I didn't even, it wasn't even my, like, in my mind frame to be, maybe I can ask God to help me. It wasn't. It was totally, I could do this. I could do it. You know, I got this thing. I'll be able to do this thing. And it was only after I came into this program and it was introduced to me that this is a spiritual program. It was like, whoa, that is, I didn't know. I didn't know that that when I walked into these rooms that this was going to be part of the deal. So, but look at this now. That happened 20 years ago, and I'm still here today. And it goes to show that I'm here. You know, thank God the food is down, and I'm absent, and the cravings have been gone, and the obsession of the mind. Thank you, God. It's a miracle. But I'm here today still, because I'm looking still to grow and to connect and get closer to God on a daily basis. You know, I'm not out of here. And this is what our purpose is here in this program. Yeah, we got to put down the food, but it goes further than that. And I'm on the phone, Zeb. I'll be right there. So I'm just really, really grateful to be able to have this opportunity and to do this another day with everyone. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Devorah S. Okay, we're on page 158, the first paragraph, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on page 158, the first paragraph?
So,
okay, I heard Sue.
Amanda H.
Kelly.
Amanda H.
Joanne B.
Amanda K.
Joanne B. And was it Kelly? Did I hear you,
yes,
Kelly?
Yes, Kelly S. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sandy K.
I got Sandy K, was it?
Yes.
Teresa W.
Lisa W.
Teresa D.
Okay. Okay. I have six people on here, so I'm going to stop there, and maybe we'll have time for more, and I'll get that later. I heard someone come in before Bruce, but I can get you Bruce if, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the two people that came in over each other. So let's start with Sue. I need the first initial of your last name. Amanda H, Kelly S, Joanne B, Sandy K, Lisa W, and if we have time, we'll do Bruce E. So go ahead, Sue.
Hello, I know I sound like Sue. I'm Phil.
Phil. Sorry, Phil. We got that earlier today. Sorry. Go ahead.
I know. From Northern Ireland. I'm not offended in the least. Don't worry. So, yes, this is quite a journey he has to go on over a short period of time, you know. And he doesn't believe really that God has done anything for him, you know. He recognizes that he's been trying to fight it on his own. And these guys have come and they're doing service and they're encouraging him, you know, that there is hope. And that's what this program does. It gives hope to all of us addicts. I'm a compulsive overeater. Sorry, I forgot to say. and I've had so much hope from OA and from A Vision for You. And in this very strange time in the world with COVID, it's incredible to me that I have access to these marvelous resources and to be able to listen to your beautiful recovery. It's wonderful. The other day when I was writing my 10th step out, I was asking God to help my new sponsee, you know, and it was like, please God help her, please God help her. And it was like I was kind of felt this thought, you do not have to beg me for anything. You're only asking me to do what I do, what I am doing. You can thank me for looking after your sponsee, and I will guide you, you know, in your way. And I just found that a very special experience. And it's so exciting that we're on this adventure together and that there's no such thing as same old, same old. Every day is new. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all.
Thank you, Phil. Okay, Amanda H., you're up next, followed by Kelly S.
Hi, I'm Amanda H. from California, new to Vision, and looking for a sponsor, wanting to get started. when I look at this paragraph, I just get a sense of this person that is, he's in his disease, and the disease is selfish. And I think when I read it, I see the disease talking, not him. And what helps me when I am trying to, go with God is to reach down deep within myself and feel that light within. And that's the compassion and the love that God has for me. And that's how I am able to break free from that disease, by practicing compassion and love for myself, because the disease does not want that. The disease wants me to isolate and to be alone and to try to do this on my own. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be recovered and I want to be free. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Amanda H. Okay, Kelly S., you're up next, followed by Joanne B.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for your service. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater in bulimic in Oklahoma. Well, people have already kind of shared on things that I wanted to share. Grateful seeing new things in this paragraph about, you know, the prospect, more receptive, the maybe you're right. And this is me. When I started listening to Vision for You about 7 years ago, I've been around OA, you guys shared that, for 30-something years. And, you know, I was listening and I heard something new that I'd never heard. Of course, I heard the word recovered, which I thought you weren't supposed to say. I mean, whatever. But, you know, my disease had beaten me down. And so I was listening to people talking about, you know, working this program as it's laid out in the big book. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I thought I tried everything else in this program. Nothing was working. I pretty much thought it was a hopeless one. 30 years, my God. I mean, 30 years. Seriously, if it was going to work, it was going to work, right? Well, now these people were laying down, you know, they were laying down this plan of action, this course of action that's talked about on page 157. That, as crazy as it sounds, I've never heard that there were actually instructions in the big book. I'd done everything else, I thought. And so I thought, well, they're giving me this course of action. I'm hearing this recovery on the line. A lot of people sharing that had been around for years like me who had struggled. And, you know, I the same thing. God ought to be able to do this, you know. I mean, that's what they're saying, right? And so, you know, I had done all those prayers, you know, God, please make me sin. Please make me abstinent. Please make me happy, you know. And, so, you know, it was for me, he sure didn't do much for me, and I was trying to fight this Boozerac alone. This whole paragraph kind of for me sounded like the set-aside prayer, you know, because I was more receptive now. But, you know, my old thinking, my old experience in this program was really blocking me, because I just felt like I was hopeless. I tried everything, so I had to start the set-aside prayer. And I did it every day, and I still do it, because I can still block myself. And I know this course of action works today because, gratefully, it took me 2 years of listening and not taking the course of action. But I took the course of action for 5 years, and I've been abstinent, and I'm working the program. And I continue to do the set-aside prayer because I am blocked. And God is doing for me today what I never thought I could do. You know, I've been abstinent for 5 years. I'm continuing to do 10, 11, and 12. I'm working these steps, and I started back through them again. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just so grateful today that I was willing to listen to the vision and be open to a new way of working this program, and it's working. So I just want to say that for anybody new or out there like me who is struggling, just start the set-aside prayer and be more receptive, all right? Glad to be here. Thanks, Pat.
Got in right under the wire there, Kelly. Okay, thanks so much. Joanne B., you're up next, followed by Sandy K.
Hello, this is Joanne B., recovered in Texas, one day at a time. And what really stands out is this, this is kind of how I was. God ought to be able. I had to come to a place where I had to see that my idea of God wasn't big enough to be able to take care of my my compulsive overeating, my overweight. I didn't realize that until I came in and got a sponsor to walk with me, and I got to read the pages of the big book and see how I identified in, and I got to see my agnosticism, which I didn't know I had. And so it dawned on me that my God wasn't big enough, and he ought to be. So I got to realize that I had put my God in a box, and it was quite small when it came to my problem of using food to take care of life. And then the other part that stuck out was I was trying to fight this food racket alone. I was trying to fight my whole life alone, and it was amazing to me to find the freedom that I was going to not be fighting anymore. But this trying, this word try, it had was one of my main things. I was trying to do everything, and so I got to learn that trying was my self-will. And of course, my God couldn't do anything because I was God. You know, I was the one that was the boss. And so he waited patiently for me. And I'm so grateful that I had someone to walk with me, and I had all of you on the line who shared your experience, strength, and hope. And I got to see a different way to live, and that could be for me too. And that's how my life is. I'm learning for the first time in 58 years. I am learning every day how to live with joy and live with abundance in that joy. And with that, yeah, I just want to say thank you, everyone. Thanks for being in this meeting and for doing it every day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Okay, Sandy K., you're up next, followed by Lisa W.
Good morning. I am Sandy K. from South Florida, recovered compulsive overeater. I have never been able to relate to that paragraph that we just read. When I became a member of OA, I came in as an agnostic. Now, I would not have, I don't think I would have come in if anyone approached me with a God kind of a approach. I was going to a therapist because I was angry and irritable and discontent, and she said, would you like to try OA? And I said, oh, no, I tried that in New York a few years ago, and they were talking, I walked into a meeting not knowing anything, and they were talking about Jesus Christ, and I'm Jewish. And I said, well, this is not going to work. But she said, no, those people probably shouldn't have been talking about a particular religion, whether it was Jesus or Muhammad or whatever. She said, why don't you just try this? I said, okay. So I was open-minded enough and desperate enough to try the meeting. And when I got to the meeting, it was big. It was like a face-to-face. There must have been over 100 people there. And I heard a speaker, I have goosebumps now when it's 35 years later, that said he was abstinent for 5 years. I couldn't be abstinent for 5 minutes. 5 years. And I said, I want what they have. And I went into with the mindset of just follow what they did. And when I got to the second step, because the first step I got, the second step was, what am I going to do about finding a higher power? And I managed very well to find a higher power. And that higher power has evolved over all these years. And now it is the most beautiful part of my program, not the physical, but the spiritual. So, and I just want to say one thing, that when I came in, I never even thought about God. I couldn't label me if I tried. So this was a completely new concept of a higher power. And I get goosebumps again today thinking about how I've evolved. And and the grace of God that has been given me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy K. Okay, Lisa W., you're up next, and followed by Bruce E. So go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning. My name is Teresa W., and I'm a compulsive overeater and very new. And thank you for calling on me or allowing me to share. Those terms, maybe and oughta, sound a lot like unsurety, and sounds a lot like where I am today, because I am a recovered alcoholic and drug addict, and I would be trying to, you know, getting a little exercise or going about my day, and I would say, God, why don't you just take this one away? Oh, also cigarettes. Just all taking away alcohol, drugs, and cigarettes. And I'm reasoning with God, asking, what is wrong with me? Why won't you just, what's wrong with this one? And I found out from my lady that I'm working with, who I think she's going to be my sponsor, that I had some resentments towards this higher power, who I obviously don't believe that will work for me. And it's true, I like, he just doesn't care about me. He just, maybe I'm, you know, meant to be fat and sick and all these ailments. And that's just insane to think that the thing that I believe is loving also wants me dead. That just doesn't make sense. So I'm coming to believe right now that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity with this food thing, mostly sugar. And I'm thinking about how sugar was my first drug of choice. When I was a kid, my grandfather used to have, you know, things in the freezer and in the refrigerator. I never had to stop the ice cream man on our street because my grandfather always had it in the house. And I'm hoping that we will get to that once I start writing on step 4 about my disease. So I just, you know, thank you all for letting me share. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Teresa. Okay, I have Bruce E. next. Does one other person want to come in behind Bruce? Okay, Polly Q. Okay, I think we'll have time for both of you. So go ahead, Bruce.
I don't think I'm a hard act to follow. This is Bruce E., and I'm down in Southwest Florida, and I'm an easy act to follow, really. And I'm recovered down here, and thank God for that. I like this. He had been thinking it over. Well, I guess he had probably been thinking it over. You know, they had mentioned, talked to him the day before, night before, something in a spiritual program, and talked about God probably. And I'll bet he had been thinking it over plenty hard. And then he goes into this thing. God ought to be able to do anything. But he didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this alone. Well, that'd been my problem for years. You know, he didn't do much for me. I was trying to fight it alone. You know, as long as I'm trying to fight this thing alone, he isn't doing much for me, is he? Okay, so I'm fighting it alone. He's not doing much for me. Well, no wonder. I'm fighting it alone. And that was what the problem is I see there. I think it's more like a three-legged stool. It's me, God, and my sponsor. You know, the three of us. I can't do this thing alone. I tried doing this. I had tried doing it alone. I couldn't do it alone. And then I changed my thinking on that. My dear precious mother, she was 98 when she died. I think she still had the disease when she died. And excuse me, watched her have it all my life, you know. And I remember her, this was when I was, before I got in the program. And she said, God will do anything for you, but he just won't do anything on the food. And, you know, I kind of thought that too, you know, because I was kind of like this guy here. God ought to do anything, but he hadn't helped. He hadn't done much for me, you know. And so thinking back on that, you know, and I wish I'd gotten in a program with her, but just didn't work out that way. And that's the way, you know, that's the way it worked out. You know, that's okay. So I'm thinking a lot different now about this, and I'm not fighting this thing alone. And I'm not doing one of these things about where, okay, I'm in this, I'm going to do all this work, and I'm going to do all this, and then I'll just sort of add God in here. It's got to be more like, okay, God, I just surrender the whole thing to you, and let's do this thing together. And excuse me, I had to get a sponsor, and that's what really, you know, really helped, was just having a sponsor. And the sponsor told me, he says, God's not like a genie that you just pull them out of the bottle, and then is pull them out of the bottle, use them, and then put them back in a bottle. So I thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you, Brucey. Okay, Polly Q, it's your turn. Go ahead. Star went to unmute, Polly.
Can you hear me, moderator?
Yes. Yes.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Thanks for your service. Thank you very much. I'm Polly Q. I'm in California and recovered, and always amazed that I'm recovered for a long time now. I mean, you know, for as long as I've ever been recovered, and I've been in the program for a bazillion years, but I've been recovered for 3.5. And, you know, I had to change my view of a higher power, you know, because I'm so set in my ways, you know. I as a human, I get this idea about something and I can't shake it, you know, and my prejudice, you know, about a higher power, that a higher power, it was limited to my view, you know. I mean, I'm just this little human. I have this view of a higher power, and but I'm so arrogant, you know, and I'm so ego-based that to me, well, if there was a higher power, it would be what I wanted it to be, you know, and yet at the same time, it would be all powerful, but at the same time, I would be the one in charge. You know, it's all about self-reliance, right? So, and I didn't know that's why I had to do that white knuckling abstinence for 17 years. I didn't realize, probably more like for 14, and then went into relapse. But I didn't realize that that was the issue, that was the problem. I just thought I needed a better food plan. If I could just get a better food plan, and then that would be my higher power. If I could just get this higher power to do everything I wanted, I mean, obviously I didn't think like that. I didn't know that's what I was thinking. But now when I read this text over and over and over again, I see that yes, that's exactly what I thought. It's what I still think today. It takes me about a second to try to take everything back over. And then to be really disappointed, I'm just so disappointed in my higher power because I didn't get what I wanted. And then, but it's that turning over. It's that part, which when I'm working with sponsees, I find is the part that's the most difficult. Abstinence, that's the very first thing. But if it is not followed by this desire to find a power greater than me, this desire to believe in one, I'll wrap up, then I will return to be an agnostic in about a second. So, so grateful for the program. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Polly Q. And thanks everyone who shared this morning. Really great shares, everyone. A special thanks to our readers, Shelley E., Lorraine N., KP, Devorah S., Kara L., and thank you to our newcomer greeter, Janice PM. So if you're new, please stay on the line as Janice will be greeting you and getting your phone number and you'll get some calls. And then Don B., who will be making the announcements at the end of the meeting. So we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Devorah S., would you please read a vision for you?
Great, here I am. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Okay, I'm waiting for the recording to stop and then I'll move on. Kathleen, I'm having difficulty. My computer.